Okay, I wanted to just kind of take stock of where we are at this point. Really, in some sense, you know, Genie has been around for several years, but in some sense, it's about 6 months old now. People have really been working away on the very earliest prototypes. And so I think this is a good time to kind of take stock of where we are and then to start thinking about, so what are we going to do in the next 6 months or the next year or two? So here's the outline. Basically, as I say, taking stock, but then I would like to start some discussions. And since I happen to be standing at the microphone, I'll try to start things off, be a little bit provocative, but then we have actually a day and a half where we can start arguing about what would actually make sense or what would not. As Ty mentioned, so Genie is going to enable this network science and engineering. And I think this is actually a very good formulation of a research agenda because it sweeps all the way from science and technology through society. And if we think, you know, if some of us who are router people think of the internet, we tend to think of routers. If we're application people, we tend to think of applications. But if you ask most people what is the internet, it's something that, you know, every part of their life is involved in the internet nowadays. And so I think that's a very good space to be doing research in and to try to be doing innovations in that space. As Ty mentioned, after maybe a year and a half or 2 years of work, the NETC research agenda is now coming into focus. And to put that in perspective, this is not the first document like this. Several years ago, there was a very good Genie science plan. And then in between times, there has been a draft version by Scott Schenker and others of Why We Dream of Genie. So a number of people have been pondering kind of what is this research area, what does it mean in terms of infrastructure, and so on. I think the people on the NETC Council really, you know, should be congratulated on pulling this together. This has been a very difficult agenda to pull together, but I think it's now essentially almost done. So congratulations to the NETC Council. Over on the Genie side, we've been taking really all these inputs. So from our viewpoint, there are many, many sources of requirements. There isn't kind of one single unique source of requirements because there have been many activities over the years of people saying what we need, what we want, what this means, and so forth. And so we have been turning these, the GPO system engineers have been turning these into a written set of requirements documents. And so the big two rectangles on the left represent two documents that are on the wiki. One is the overall system requirements, and one is specifically a rather detailed set of documents for control frameworks. Now, is this the exact truth? Are these, in fact, really and truly the requirements? No, they're probably not. But if we write them all down, then we have a basis for arguing about them. And so if you haven't looked at these, if you're interested in what is this thing supposed to do, it's worth checking out these requirements documents. This is a part of system engineering. I think probably most people in the room are not trained as system engineers, but you know, in system engineering, you begin with the requirements, a written set of statements of what needs, you know, what does this thing have to do, and then from that you start deriving design and so on. They're very dry when you read requirements documents, but I think it's well worth reading them and saying, I absolutely disagree. This is not, you know, it's not supposed to do this, it's supposed to do that. Then in addition, the GPO staff has been drawing up a number of other documents which are squirreled away on the wiki as well, including use cases, trial runs at system diagrams, and so forth. But the requirements, I think, are worth taking a look at if you haven't done that already. Again, they will evolve certainly over the next few years. So they're a basis for discussions, not, you know, kind of this is the way it's going to be. All right. When you kind of contemplate, you know, where are we in Genie land? Well, we're about halfway through spiral one. And remember, a spiral is going to take about 12 months to get done. And most people started around, you know, like sometime in the middle of the fall. So we're 6 months in. And it's actually been pretty good. We have a number of the very earliest forms of control framework clusters up and kind of limping. I was particularly impressed in the demo room at how well people have done in some of these control frameworks of actually integrating things together. You know, this is by no means easy to do. So we have kind of, we're partway into the earliest, shakiest kind of overarching control framework clusters. And if you look down at the bottom, we have a number of campuses that are now actively participating in Genie, many of which are pretty close to the two backbones that are Genie capable and ready to be running Genie. Right? So we have both kind of the control framework starting to take shape and the actual data plane, which is going to carry all this traffic, taking shape. Very early, but it's pretty good for 6 months. Okay, here's the main goals of Spiral 1. One is, please integrate your stuff into a control framework. And you should know, almost everybody is already in some control framework or other. Not everybody is, but almost everybody is. So you should know what control framework you're supposed to be part of. You know, I'm supposed to be integrating into PlanetLab. I'm supposed to be integrating into Orca or Protogenie, right? You should know that and figure out how on earth you're going to do it, because you know, it better be done by 6 months from now, right? It really has to kind of be an integrated system, not just a standalone project by next fall. So that's goal number one. And like I say, in the demo room, you could see there's some actually spectacular progress. Some of the things are pretty much there at this point after 6 months. Goal number two is kind of, can we get a data plane or an experiment plane or slices to go end to end at layer two across a range of technologies? So we picked Ethernet VLANs as kind of the lingua franca for a slice all the way across. And so we're interested, can you get Ethernet VLANs from that bus through the RF into fiber across the country and have it come out at the other end as an Ethernet frame so we can carry non-IP traffic? And that's why, in particular, John Jacob from the GPO has been hounding you as to how exactly does your campus plumbing work? Because this is not a normal thing to do, to splice Ethernet frames end-to-end across the continent. So we call these vertical and horizontal integrations. Vertical means figure out how you can fit into a control framework, and horizontal means figure out how you can participate end-to-end at layer two to make a slice. Oh, I've just said the next slide. So for those of you who have already got one or both of these kind of up and stumbling, congratulations. And for the rest of you, you know, you've got about another 3 months or 6 months, so it would be good to hustle at this point. And oh, by the way, in your copious free time, please design Genie while you're doing this. Okay, so one thing I do is I go around and I talk to a lot of our wise elders. I won't name any names because somebody would be mad if they're left out. But you know, I talk to a lot of the wise elders, the research organizations, a lot of industry, and so forth. And people are actually getting, you know, they're getting pretty interested in this. The stuff that you guys are doing is getting very, very positive reviews. In some sense, after years of PowerPoint, people are very happy that things are starting to be up and cycling. And I think there's a general perception that the prototyping efforts are really on a roll. People are really quite impressed, actually, with what you're doing. And to a large extent, they're very impressed by who is doing it. So there are some of the best researchers in the US who are busy leading and working on these prototyping efforts, and people are very aware of that. So anyway, this is in my travels around, you know, I'm hearing very, very positive things. And because I talk to a fair number of older people, you know, the wise elders are actually older people, they say things like, it's like DARPA in the old days, which is good. If you never saw, actually it was ARPA in the old days, but if you never saw that, that's a good thing, right? I mean, this means that people are really revved up and producing. So it's really good. Okay, now, because this is a real project and not some kind of dream heaven project, we do have issues to address. Integration is really, really hard, and that's what we're trying to do now. We're trying to do it immediately, and so that makes it doubly difficult. From my perspective, a small number, two or three projects, appear to be making little or no progress. And remember, you're kind of on notice. You have 1 year of funding, and then everything else is option years. So those projects that don't make a lot of progress, you will know who you are, right? We will tell you and work with you. But eventually that money is just going to be scavenged and given to people who are making progress. So there are a couple that are now, clearly there's some trends that, they're going to have to break. It's not entirely obvious that working groups are actually working, right? We thought, hey, maybe this is a good way to do it. Maybe it's not a good way to do it. Maybe it's too early. So we'd be interested in your feedback on, are the working groups working? Should we be doing something else instead? What should we do? From my perspective, the list of proposed experiments is still very murky on this. That would be nice to clear up. And so tomorrow morning, there's plenty of time to stand up, take the microphone, and say what you think, right? We should be doing X. This part isn't working. That part is working okay. What's the things that don't work, let's change them. And on we go. Oh, okay. I'm actually saying this now. So this is kind of a little foreshadowing of what I'm going to talk about tomorrow afternoon. So here's A. Binning. I'm sorry that there wound up being lots and lots of little bins, and so the type is kind of hard to read. This is the overview of what we got in solicitation 2. And we got 91 proposals this time, which is up somewhat from last time. In the top right, I gave you my kind of highlight score sheet. We are finally doing okay on security proposals. And many thanks go to Matt Bishop for that. We got some great security proposals. We got a lot of security proposals. It would have been extremely embarrassing to kind of build Genie without having security. That would be very bad. On the other hand, I don't think we're doing so great on experiments. We asked for early experiments that could be run on this, and we didn't get very many proposals. So that's going to be a GPO task, is to try to, hustle up more early experiments that we can run across this stuff that you guys are all building. And I'm not going to read the rest of it aloud. If you can read the fine print, fine. Otherwise, I'll hand you. Actually, these slides, I think, are already on the wiki. Yep, they're already on the wiki. So you can download them if you want to kind of parse out how your proposal is likely to do. Okay, Spiral 2. So I suggest let's start to discuss, which is kind of a gentle word for argue about it. Let's not make any decisions yet about what's in Spiral 2 and what's not, but let's start thinking about it. And so since I'm at the mic, here's my wish list. So measurements, very simple clearinghouses, early tries at Federation, a bigger layer 2 build out, and start running those early experiments. Those are really high on my list of things that we should really be grappling with in Spiral 2. Let me begin with instrumentation. So I think it's generally agreed, you scratch anyone, Genie will be well instrumented. Genie will make lots of measurements. Boy, we've never been able to measure things. Wouldn't it be great when we finally are able to? Well, this is really extremely murky. Right, this is kind of a central part of this proposed infrastructure, is there'll be all these great measurements and archival and sharing and analysis, but it's very vague at present as to exactly what all that is. And oh, by the way, the combination of we will have hundreds of thousands of real users and we will instrument and measure everything they're doing is an interesting combination, right? So I think we're going to have to grapple with that. So how exactly we're going to reconcile instrumentation, privacy concerns, and outright laws as to how we do all this stuff. So our proposal is this is an area that really needs pretty vigorous looking into and prototyping. And Paul Barford has been carrying the flag in this area. actually for quite a long time, from the planning group onwards, and has very kindly agreed to chair a workshop, which he's more or less pulled together at this point, to try to get more people who are really, really interested in instrumentation and measurement into a room. And, you know, let's figure out what to do, and then we will try to find funding and do it. Okay, anyway, your thoughts and ideas are really needed here. It would be embarrassing if we had an infrastructure that was not, in fact, instrumented. Okay, so the next major topic is, there was actually a great flurry of back and forth on the control framework working group, one of the few real lively discussions that's come up on a email list to date. And this got some of us in the GPO thinking about, so what is a clearinghouse anyhow? This has been a rather murky part of the design. So let me try to provoke people by giving a very minimalist version of what a clearinghouse is. Okay, so here are, I claim, the major functions of a Genie clearinghouse. And so you kind of read it in three vertical columns. This is all conceived of kind of as an e-commerce system. So think of, you know, Amazon stores or something like that. So that's the mental framework. So the first thing is, a clearinghouse brings, quote, buyers and, quote, sellers together. So there's a bunch of researchers who want stuff, and there's a bunch of infrastructure that has stuff. And so it's just, in this vision, it's just like e-commerce. The people who want stuff go somewhere, and they buy stuff. They rummage through it, they put it in shopping carts, and they buy it. So that's the first thing. A clearinghouse has to bring together people who want to buy stuff and people who have stuff to sell, i.e. researchers and infrastructure. Now, for those who are very literal-minded, I don't think anyone is proposing that you will have to pay to acquire resources in the NSF version of Genie. So this is kind of just a mental model. You don't have to get your credit cards out, yep. Okay, that's number one. Number two is, this clearinghouse has to keep an accurate transaction log of who bought what, when. Okay, so that's kind of like the cash register receipt coming out the top or something. Why does it need to do that? Because you need to know if something does go wrong. Now, who exactly is doing all that mischief? So you need some receipt that tells you, oh, yeah, that person has control of those bits of the infrastructure now. Or that person had control 3 weeks ago, because it took us 3 weeks to figure out what was happening, but we finally figured it out. Now we want to know who was using that 3 weeks ago. That's the forensics aspect of it. Okay, so number one is bring together the buyers and sellers. Number two is keep an accurate record of all purchases, as it were. And then, as needed, implement system-wide policy. For example, if things don't actually cost any money in Genie, you can imagine there will be a sophomore who will try to allocate all of it. Now, should they be able to? I don't know, probably not. You know, that's for somebody else to decide, but you probably are gonna want some policy saying, no, you know, I'm sorry, college sophomores don't get to allocate absolutely every bit of infrastructure in Genie for the rest of time. This is not to say there isn't local policy as well. I'm sure there will be. But there probably also is system-wide policy. Okay, so that's my claim. The claim is that is almost all that a clearinghouse has to do. So it's a very simple kind of e-commerce thing, really. It's nothing more than that. Okay, what does a clearinghouse in this vision not do? It doesn't understand, describe, or manipulate resource descriptions. It has no idea what an RSpec is. It's never heard of an RSpec. Just like if you go to eBay and you're buying something on eBay, it's not like eBay knows what a flower pot is. They have no idea. Their job is to bring together a buyer and a seller, or if you do it through Amazon stores or what have you. So it is part of the transaction process, but it doesn't have the slightest idea what the transaction means. Right? That's a different part of the system that does that. It doesn't do any experiment workflow tools, out of scope. That's some other modules in the system that do that. and it doesn't really in any way participate in the life of an experiment. So a clearinghouse has very specific, very minimal functionality. Bring together the buyer and the seller, complete the transaction, keep a record, and oh, by the way, if you need to implement system policy, do it there. So that's it. Okay, here's a specific suggestion just to stir up the waters a little bit farther. So a way that you can bring buyers and sellers together is to have aggregates affiliate with a clearinghouse. And this is kind of a long-term relationship. This is like, how does an Amazon store affiliate with Amazon so things can be sold through Amazon? Well, you do some deal, you know, there's some it's paperwork of some sort, and you affiliate, and then you're, so that, for example, some chunk of infrastructure affiliates with a specific clearinghouse, and then their resources are available to be viewed and purchased if necessary. This could be done, you know, you could implement this to get down to brass tacks via SSL or any of your other favorite ways of doing things with pre-placed secret keys between the two. So this is a very specific brass tacks way you could do it. Okay, another point is researchers could literally log in to Genie. There could be a web interface. They could type in their name. That's how you log into the clearinghouse and do your transaction. To be very specific again, oh, by the way, this could use Shibboleth as an identity management tool. And those of you who are not following Shibboleth, I'm sympathetic, I was not myself. But there are big identity management systems that other people are designing, implementing, fielding, doing all the work on. So we could just use that, actually. And then finally, when a researcher is logged in, you know, you just do it the usual way. The e-commerce way, right? You just do, it's a secure link between the person and the web interface that they use to manipulate the shopping cart and so forth. Okay, I'm not going to talk through every one of these in complete detail, but if you follow the shopping analogy, it's pretty clear how a researcher would rummage around. They would find, oh, I kind of like those radio resources over there. I'll put those in the shopping cart. I like this part of a cluster. I'll put those in the shopping cart. I'm going to need some backbone to connect them. I'll put those in the shopping cart, and then I'll click on purchase. Right? And it all works that way. Oh, by the way, then something has to be handed out so that, you know, the people can actually use these resources. And now we're kind of off into the world of the slice-based facility architecture and so forth. You know, you could do this with tickets or many other ways, because later the researcher is going to need to go manipulate those resources that they just purchased, or actually probably rented is what they really did. And as I tried to sketch down in some detail how system-wide policy might work, I realized I didn't understand it at all. And so I hope somebody has some idea of how policy engines work, how system-wide policy works, and so forth. Okay, the last in this little bit of, you know, what is all this? Well, a slice in this sense is really kind of a shopping cart and part of the transaction processing that goes on. Okay, and so various of the control frameworks have pretty well fleshed out ideas of how slices work. Right? So that just fits in kind of naturally with this vision of things. And I was kind of cheating. There aren't really three major bits of functionality. There's probably four or five, but another one that I think we ought to get started on very quickly is federation, because this is going to be quite hard in general. Not so much technically hard as it's hard organizationally. In essence, with a federation, you're now really beginning to have major organizations sign agreements with each other. And the technical parts have to somehow help implement those agreements. So trying to understand this, what we really want and how to do it, is going to take a long time. That's why I suggest we start on, in particular, international federation very quickly, because it's going to take us a couple years to get sorted out. Okay, let me just step back and say, so I believe in spiral 2, we should really figure out specific chunks of functionality that we want in the system, which I'm calling clearinghouse functionality, and we should start zeroing in on those and get those to work in a simple and reliable way. Okay, so that's a thing we could do in Spiral 2. I'm not saying we all must do that, but this is the beginning of a discussion. So what do you think we ought to do in Spiral 2? Okay, another thing that we ought to do, I believe, is we've got the rudiments of this layer 2 nationwide system that's being built out. And I believe we should build it out fairly aggressively in Spiral 2. We should get campuses better online, we should get more campuses online, and we should start getting more regional networks hooked into this. Insofar as it's possible, we should start getting it out to end users through wireless, through their handsets. Right? So this is kind of the equivalent of the data plane. The control frameworks aren't quite ready yet, but they're coming along pretty well. So let's build out the data frame, the data plane fairly quickly. And this is something I reported on a little while ago, at the Stanford meeting, meeting with about a dozen CIOs from major research universities about, can we start doing early build-outs into campuses? And the answer has been a very positive yes. They are very interested. A number of campuses are very interested in doing build-outs within the next 6 to 12 months of kind of layer 2 Genie-enabled stuff through the campus networks. Perhaps originally earliest to the CS department or the CS and engineering and sciences departments, but ultimately to all the wireless and the dorm rooms. So the CIOs are actually interested. If you guys want to do it, they want to do it. So I think we should go for it. Okay, the next 2 days. So I think we really have kind of two things that we're trying to do here. One is to thrash out design issues. And this is not easy. There's a lot of people and a lot of opinions, but that's what the working groups are for, is to try to start wrestling these to the ground. I would encourage in the working groups, try to keep a fairly short-term view of things. What is feasible in Spiral 1 or Spiral 2, right? If the plans are, what is feasible to implement across all the world with 4 billion or 6 billion users, that's really, really hard. We'll argue for a long time. Let's figure out what's suitable for something a little bit bigger than this, you know, a year from now. We can change it, right? It's not set in concrete once you do it. The second is integration issues. So within the control framework clusters, this is the time set aside for that control framework cluster to really, frankly, argue about how are we going to make this work. This would be really easy for you, but it would be almost impossible for me. So let's not do that. Let's do, you know, this is a good time to really thrash out how is a control framework actually going to fit together and work. And the GPO system engineers will be in the mix trying to help record things and egg you on. But really, it's up to you to do this level of design and integration. Okay, let me repeat what I said again at Stanford. So I think this is a time, the faster we can move, the faster, you know, this is going to get big fast if we move fast, right? So move as fast as you can. If the choice is between kind of deliberating about things and implementing, move to the implementing stage. The second thing is think much bigger than you have been thinking. I think a lot of people think of a couple computers in their lab or something across my campus. Now's the time when you can start to think, what if this were in like 20 campuses or 30 campuses? So when you think about your stuff, think how close is it to being prototyped in a bunch of campuses or throughout backbones or the regionals. Third is work together, right? Very, very difficult to do. But this is really the key to the whole thing. If you want to do something big, you have to figure out some way to work together. And finally, you know, be yourself, for heaven's sakes, right? I mean, this is not a vast machine. So I hope this is an opportunity for you to become more like you rather than, you know, whatever else. Okay, and that is it. Let me take a couple questions if people like, and then we'll go on break, and then we'll have a couple talks. He would like to point out the diagram of the internet with four nodes was drawn by John Postel, but I disagree. I believe it was drawn by Alex McKenzie at BBN. We can argue about that. Okay, go for your, oh no, sorry, Jeff. Drink more coffee, you know.
One of the things you said is that Clearinghouse, among its different roles, would not be processing our specs. And I'm wondering, one of the questions here about the Clearinghouse role is what is its role in terms of matching requests and attributes for desired resources with the resources that are available in a catalog? Right, so even the example you used of eBay, you know, people get on eBay and they do searches for things based on keywords and so on and so forth. And they find sets of candidate products that they might be interested in buying. And doing that sort of matching seems like it could be much more complex in a Genie sort of setting. And it also seems this would be a natural role of the clearinghouse. So this is actually one of the things we're struggling with, is how much does it need to deal with these specifications. And you seem to have taken a hard position that it really doesn't have to do much at all. And I'm wondering if you could say more about that. Or...
Right. So you understand this, you know, literally at least 100 times better than I do. So I am taking a maximalist hard position in the attempt to say, well, so prove me wrong, right? What else does it have to do? Can we just go get, you know, an e-commerce transaction processing system and do a little tweaks with Python and we're done? Is that all we have to do, or is there more? Okay, go for coffee. We'll see you in half an hour at 10:30.